Today is part four, 40 days of prayer, and the title is How to Pray Throughout Your Day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul wrote, pray continually. You say, how in the world can I pray continually? If I'm driving, I need my eyes open. If I'm sleeping, how can I pray? Well, there's a lot of hours in a day, and there's a lot we can do. Just to give you a little bit of idea here as to how you can pray continually, here's Ephesians 6:18. It gives us some insights. Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up and always pray for all of God's people. Now, that one verse gives us seven tips on how we can pray continually. And I want to go through these quickly and because there's a lot to cover today. But first of all, it says, pray in the Spirit. It means simply, let God lead you. Let God lead you so that if an idea or a person or a situation comes to your mind, no matter where you are and what you're doing, pray about it. Second, pray at all times. There is no bad time to pray. There is no inappropriate time to pray. Anytime, anywhere, any subject is reason to pray. Pray with all kinds of prayer. There are different kinds of prayers depending on your emotions and your circumstances. The Psalms are loaded with different prayers, complaining prayers, crying out prayers, contented prayers, and so forth. So one way to learn how to pray is go through the Psalms. Just spend some time in the Psalms. Next, ask for everything you need. Nothing is off limits to pray about. Nothing. Fifth, always be ready. Be on your toes to pray. Be thinking, what can I be praying for? And how can I be ready to pray? Never rule prayer out as your first option. Don't be the kind of person who says, well, I guess the only thing left to do is pray. Really. Have that be your first option. Fifth, always be ready. Be on your toes. I already said that one. Sixth, never give up. Never stop believing prayer makes a difference. Don't ever get to the point and say, I'm not going to pray. It doesn't make any difference anyway. It always makes a difference. Somehow God is responding to our prayers. And finally, Paul wrote to always pray for all of God's people, for everybody. Now, you can't do that in a minute or two. That's why it's important for us to learn how to pray throughout the day. Now, a good way to pray continually is to pray several times a day on a schedule. So that's what we want to cover this morning. And what we're going to do is we're going to use the Lord's Prayer as the background or as the template for how to pray throughout the day. But before we talk about that specifically, praying on a schedule, I want you to know praying on a schedule is not a new idea. From the beginning of time, people have scheduled their prayer times. You may recall reading this sometime in the book of Daniel where it says three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. And you may also recall that when he got down on his knees three times a day to pray, he got in trouble because he was told not to. Maybe you need to go back and review that story. That would be a great thing to do. But he defied the orders of the king and said, no, I'm going to pray just like I always do. And so he prayed to God three times a day. Centuries later, when the Romans took over the world, they put up bell towers in every city, and they would ring that bell tower six or seven times a day. The first time, about six in the morning, they would ring the bell, and it would say to the entire city, get up, it's time to go to work. And so get to work. About 9 a.m., the bell would ring again, and since it was 3 hours after the first bell, it was called the third hour, and it basically signaled it's time to take a break, coffee break. 12 o'clock noon was the sixth hour, signaling it was time for lunch. In the Roman Empire, I can't imagine this, lunch breaks, lunchtime was 3 hours long. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? 3 hours long. And so again, at 3 in the afternoon, the bell would ring to say, okay, you've probably taken a nap or whatever you've done, you've had a nice lunch, get back to work. Finally, it would ring again at 6 o'clock to signal the workday is done. Go home. Now, what happened is the monks in their monasteries used this as a time to remind them to pray. In fact, Christians throughout the whole entire Roman world, they got to thinking about what a great way to use this as a reminder to pray. So that's what they would do. And then the monks, they put bell towers in the monasteries, and they used it to remind people to pray. So throughout the day, every 3 hours or so, they would ring the bells to remind people to pray every time. Now, an interesting thing that Rick Warren included in this teaching is he mentioned it's interesting to note that the Latin word for bell is C-L-O-C. I never knew this before. In time, clocks were invented to call people to pray. I never knew that. I thought it was to tell me to get to lunch on time or something like that. So the next time you check the time on your watch or your phone or your Fitbit or your computer, use it as an opportunity to pray. Now, in Psalm 119, 164, David said, "Seven times a day I praise you." And we want to use the Lord's Prayer this morning, seven phrases from the Lord's Prayer, to teach us how we can pray throughout the day. Now, this week, as I have been preparing this for this morning, I've tried to do that. So this morning, when I woke up, I tried to think of this very first thing, which we'll get to in just a moment. The Lord's Prayer is a model for prayer. When Jesus taught what we call the Lord's Prayer, he was giving his followers a pattern for how to pray. He didn't say this is how you must pray. He had more of an idea, a pattern, a model for how to pray. And so that's what we're going to do. The first phrase of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven," reminds us to get up with gratitude. Get up with gratitude. When you wake up in the morning, take a few minutes. Your eyes flutter open. Take a few minutes to tell your Heavenly Father what you're grateful for. Now, you have a choice regarding what attitude you're going to have when your feet hit the floor. You can wake up grumpy. You say, no, I just assume he kept on sleeping. You can get up crabby, you can get up ornery, or you can get up with gratitude. And gratitude makes the most sense because it's been discovered, I probably talked about this almost every single Thanksgiving since I've been here, gratitude is so healthy for us emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. That's why God wants us to do this and why it's such a great way to start our day, by telling God we're thankful for what He does for us. Now, and Lindsay and I were discussing this. By the way, if you're going through the manual for the 40 days of prayer, you're going to want to switch this Sunday and next Sunday because we decided to do that because the message that was set for today really ties in well with communion, which we're scheduled to do next week, and this really tied in better for today. So if you're using that manual, keep that in mind. But as we were talking about this, Lindsay suggested a video. It's a song just simply called Thank You by a group called 33 Miles. And as we watched it, we said, I agreed with Lindsay. I said, this is a great way to make this initial point about get up with gratitude. Watch this video.
Joy, life is pain, but the prayer of my heart heart will never change. I say thank you. Oh, I say thank you. Oh, what if I looked at my life in a different way? Took a little more time to stop and pray. I know it would change all the moments in between. So here I go. Thank you for everything. And thank you for loving me. It don't even matter what tomorrow brings. Well, I will sing my thank you for sun and rain, for what you give and take away.
Drink your first cup of coffee, say thank you. It's been said that the attitude you have for your entire day is set in the first 8 minutes. The first 8 minutes. And so we have a choice. What are we going to do to set the attitude for our day? What better way than to say thank you, Lord? This is what 1 Corinthians 4 says. What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you are so great? This is obviously from the Living Bible, and as though you have accomplished something on your own. You haven't. So say thank you. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So then, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. And James wrote, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. So thank Him. After your feet hit the floor with a grateful heart, use the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name, to bless God's name and at breakfast. So just quietly bow your head and say, Father in heaven, I bless you, I honor you, I adore you, I praise your name. Psalm 145:2 says, don't relegate your praise only to Sunday. Every day, the psalmist said, every day I will bless your name. God's name is mentioned about 80 times in the book of Psalms alone as being worthy of honor and praise. A name is significant. When people hear or mention my name, Jim Goldschmeding, to have good thoughts. To think that's an honorable person. That's a person of integrity because everything hangs on your name. If you have a bad name and people can't trust you, you go to ask for to be able to borrow money, they're not going to give it to you because there's no confidence that you're going to pay it back. God's name is sterling. His name is absolutely sterling. So when He says something, one of His promises, it's backed up by His integrity and trustworthy character. And so we bless His name. Now, as I said last Sunday, the more you know God, the less you're going to worry. And the more you're going to relax, the more you know God, the more confident you are going to be in your identity and in your relationship with Him and your willingness to call to Him. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. Those who know your name, what your name stands for, who is behind that name, your history, your integrity, your trustworthiness, your faithfulness, your power, your strength. Those who know that is part of your name, trust in you, For you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. So that gets us through breakfast. Next, we get to mid-morning and remember what matters most. This thought comes from the third phrase in the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. People often take a brief work break about 9 or 10 a.m. I remember when I was an industrial chaplain in Kalamazoo many years ago, the bell would ring. This was a factory, and so it rang when it was time to punch in. It rang when it was time to take a break, and it rang when the break was done about 10 minutes later. Well, I remember in those 10 minutes or so, I usually shot baskets. My favorite was to eat donuts or maybe go out for a walk, a brief walk outside. But this is saying, use that time mid-morning to refresh your soul again, to refresh your mind, to refocus your mind again, and to pray. With a little discipline, we can create a habit of sometime in the middle of morning pausing to pray. It doesn't take a long time to say, Father, I need you. I need you to slow me down. I need you to help me remember what matters most. Jesus said, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus said, let your kingdom come, your will be done, he was saying, Father, we want your agenda, not our own. We could all benefit from more of God's agenda in every area of our life because it's always going to be the right thing. You and I are likely, much more likely to mess up if we try to go through life without God, without his agenda, without his plan, walking according to his purpose. We mess it up every time. So at mid-morning, pause to align yourself with God's purpose and plan for your day because he knows how to keep the main thing the main thing. We often lose sight of that. He knows what matters most. Jesus said, if you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, that's the main thing. All the other things will be given to you as well. So if you hit mid-morning and you're facing some sort of major crisis, a major decision, you need some insight for an assignment, you're about ready to sit down and take a major test of some kind, seek God's insight first. You started your day with gratitude. You blessed God's name at breakfast. You recommitted yourself to his plan and purpose mid-morning. Now, at lunch, list your needs. List your needs at lunch. The fourth phrase of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. When Jesus said that, he had a whole lot more than whole wheat or sourdough in mind. What he was saying here, what he was thinking here, and he wants us to understand is that bread represents everything you need to sustain you that day. And he really wants us to focus on the day. He doesn't want us to be worrying about next week or next year or anything that could be happening, but he wants us to ask God to supply our needs for that day. Now, there's a good example of this. In the Old Testament, as the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, walking across the wilderness, they needed food. And so God said, okay, I'm going to give them manna. Some bread that fell from heaven. But he said to them, you may only collect enough for one day at a time. So in the morning, when you wake up and you go outside, you're going to see the ground covered with this bread, this manna. And so take just enough for that day. And you know, if you've read this story, that if they took more than what they needed because they were worried about whether or not it would be there the next morning when they woke up, it rotted. It smelled really, really bad. But interesting thing, on Friday, because they live by the Sabbath, on Friday, they were collect enough for 2 days. Saturday morning when they woke up, they had collected enough for 2 days. It wasn't rotted. But it was fresh, it was good, it was healthy. They could eat it on that day. And then the next day, the seventh day, or whatever, how they numbered it exactly, but on the next day, we'll call it Sunday, they were to go out and get just one day's worth. Why in the world did God want it that way? Because he wanted them to realize they needed him for every single day. Independent of the day before, independent of the next day, he wanted them to depend on him for that day. Now, when you sit down at your lunch and you take some time, you may want to write your needs down on paper. And as you're writing, you're praying. Because God can read your list. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what's going on in your heart. You are praying as you make your list. So be bold. Jesus said this, you can ask for anything in my name. You can ask for anything in my name. But don't stop with your needs. If you take a look at what Jesus said, he would say, ask God for what other people need too. He didn't say, give me my daily bread. He said, give us our daily bread. So lunch is a good time to pray through the Rosewood prayer line. It's a good time to pray for a friend or neighbor. It's important. In 1 Samuel 12, Samuel told the people of Israel, I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. So what this is saying is that if I, as your pastor, don't pray for you, I'm sinning. I not only have the privilege of doing that, I have the responsibility of doing that. And as I pray, it's not just praying about me, it's praying about us, about we. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, Jesus has the power of God by which he gives us, notice this, everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. So noontime comes around. Maybe you're stressed out because it seems nothing in your morning when is planned. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. Don't get anxious about anything. Don't worry about the afternoon. Maybe the morning stunk, but it's a new time. Don't get anxious about anything. But instead, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've found, and I'm sure you have too, if I spend a few minutes praying at lunchtime, just slowing down, unwinding, refocusing, my afternoon goes much better. What I find here is when I get to church in the morning to start my work, that's not a good time for me to have what's always been called a quiet time. I want to dive in. I want to take a look at emails. I want to take a look at what's on the schedule for the day. And so then at lunchtime is a much better time for me to turn away from the computer and eat my lunch at my desk. And it's a much better time for me to pray. And I find my afternoon is more focused and more productive. That's what this is talking about. It's mid-afternoon. You're counting the hours until you can go home. It's been a busy day. Maybe you've said something or done something you regret. And so that brings us to the fifth part of Jesus' prayer. Thank God for forgiveness in the afternoon. When you take a little break in the afternoon, you can quietly ask God, Lord, is there anything in my life I need to clean out? Is there any sin I need to confess? Did I mistreat somebody this morning? Did I misspeak to somebody this morning? Was I coarse with somebody this morning? Did I cut corners this morning in a dishonest way? Lord, is there anything there that we need to deal with? Here's a wonderful way to talk with God about this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I think what he's saying there is, I can't see it all. We can easily deceive ourselves into thinking, everything's all right, I didn't hurt anybody, I didn't do anything wrong this morning. And so this is a daring prayer here. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is like taking out the garbage. You know what happens when you don't take out the garbage every day? Your house stinks. And if you don't take out the garbage in your soul can start to stink. And you don't want a stinky soul. Don't let sin stockpile in your life. Jesus doesn't want us to carry any guilt with us. That's why he died for our sins and why he encouraged us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, what we've been talking about is prayers of thanksgiving and adoration and petition and dedication, and this is a prayer of confession. And the simple purpose of a prayer of confession is to own up to your sins, to be honest with God. Confession basically means to agree with God about what he already knows and may be convicting you of in your heart. Now, if you're not a Christian Ask God to forgive not only your sins of the morning, but all of your sins. Because Jesus loved you enough to die for you, and if you ask Him to forgive all of your sins, past, present, and future, He becomes your Savior, and from that moment He becomes your Lord, and He leads you through your life. But if you are a Christian, and most of us are, I believe we can boldly say, thank you for your forgiveness, God. Past, present, and future, because the very instant we ask Jesus to forgive us and to come into our hearts and to be our Lord and Savior, all of our sins were forgiven. And this keeps the slate clean with God. This keeps us honest with God in our conversation with Him. We cheat ourselves. This is a great verse to memorize, by the way. We cheat ourselves when we refuse to ask for forgiveness and refuse to forgive others. Psalm 32:5. I confessed my sins to you and didn't try to hide them. Then you forgave me, and now all my guilt is gone. When you pray, don't stop just simply with praying for yourself. If you look at what Jesus said here, He says that we are not only to pray for our forgiveness, we are to forgive people who have sinned against us. Jesus doesn't want us to hold on to grudges. As you've heard tons of times, your unwillingness to forgive hurts you more than it hurts anybody else. It's not healthy to go through your day with a load of guilt, and neither is it healthy to go through your day with a load of resentment. It's time to head home. In his 40 Days of Prayer sermon, Rick Warren wrote, studies have shown that I never knew this. Maybe you'll say, I relate to that. Studies have shown that 90% of all arguments happen 1 hour before dinner. You're cranky, you're tired, you're hungry, and you have low blood sugar. And so you're ready. He went on to say this, you come home, and a chain reaction begins. The husband yells at the wife yells at the kids, and the kid kicks the dog. The dog chases the cat, and the cat bites the head off the Barbie doll. You need to be aware, he concluded, that the end of the day is a prime time for you to get in an argument. Knowing that, it's wise to ask for help. Which brings us to the next phrase. Ask God to help you make wise decisions, and ask Him to help to protect you from making dumb decisions. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, he said. Now, the wisest decision we want to make at the end of the day is not to say or do something that hurts or upsets the people we love. When you're tired and your resources are low, there's potential to hurt people unintentionally. So as you drive in the driveway or as you head to the door, just pray this simple prayer, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Keep me from doing something that's going to be really stupid and regretful. And keep me away from the evil one. Now, recently, I don't know if you saw this, but just a very brief video here. I think it was around Super Bowl time. This idea here was captured in a commercial by Interstate Batteries. Now, when you see it, I'll say, I've seen that, or maybe you'll say, I didn't. But especially the third scene of this commercial captures what I'm talking about here. And by the way, in case you're wondering about Interstate Batteries is owned by and run by some deeply committed followers of Christ. Deeply committed followers of Christ. And so they are passionate about people meeting God, meeting Jesus. And so they chose this really unique way in this commercial to convey that to people. Take a look. I kind of got a kick out of that. I thought that's just a great message. Another temptation comes in the form of the refrigerator and the television. Anybody relate? I've met so many people who say, I'm great with my diet, with my discipline until 6 o'clock, but 6 o'clock p.m. to midnight, no, that's a struggle. I love ice cream. I love pizza. I love popcorn. I love all of these things, and so it's very, very easy. So this is just simply saying, God, my waistline's getting out of control here, which mine is. So help me not to be tempted by these things, but to be smart. And the television, I think, may be an even greater temptation. Some of you are watching stuff you shouldn't be watching. Maybe you're watching some stuff on the computer you shouldn't be watching. Before you get home, pray, Lord, this is a struggle that I'm having. So lead me not into temptation. Help me to defeat this evil that wants to encroach on my life. Here's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what other people experience. And God is faithful. Where we struggle, God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give into it. Anybody who says, I can't help myself, is making excuses. In a sense, you can't help yourself. But God stands so ready to help us to overcome and to battle and to win these temptations, to enable us to be able to make it. Now, we're all tempted. Jesus was tempted. Temptation is a reality, but we don't have to give in to it. Martin Luther said this. It's an interesting statement. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. He's just talking about temptation there. The second truth is that not only do we all face temptation, it's a sin to give in to temptation. We do have a choice. Pray and safeguard against the birds flying over your head. The psalmist did. He wrote, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Job said something similar. I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. Nowadays, that means don't watch the news. Ask God to help you make wise decisions. And finally, the last phrase of the prayer. End your day with an encouraging truth. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you understand what that means, you're going to get a good night's sleep. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Conveys three encouraging truths. First, God is in control. Politicians aren't. Other nations aren't. Your boss isn't. You're not. I'm not. God is ultimately in control. Remember, the world changes when God's people pray, when the church prays. People who are certain the God of the Bible is in control are much more likely to pray and much more likely to sleep well. He's waiting on us. The second encouraging truth this final phrase conveys is, this is not the end of the story. What we're experiencing now is not the end of the story. Sometimes you can be concerned about the future. I'll tell you, I'm getting to be an old man, but I'm concerned about my kids and grandkids. I'm concerned about my kids and grandkids and the direction our nation is taking. Third, God and His family win in the end. Be careful what you watch or read before turning off your light at night, because it has potential to leave you depressed, worked up, and unable to sleep. So just in case I've never encouraged you to read your Bible and if possible to read your Bible through in the course of a year, let me do that now, just in case I've never mentioned it. Because when you get to the end, the final chapter says, God wins. And if you are connected to Him through faith in Jesus, that means you win. Corrie Ten Boom said, it all depends on who you're looking at. Great quote. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Isn't that a great quote? I want you to see it one more time. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. So your final thought at night when you're ready to go to sleep is, God, thanks for the day. God, you're in control. I'll see you in the morning. I'm going to get some sleep now. And you can do that. Now, I know what you're thinking. Jim, you don't know how busy I am. You don't know. I really don't have time to pray, really. We're all busy. All of us have our 24 hours jam-packed. Martin Luther said this, I have so much to do today, I must pray 3 hours because I can't get it all done if I don't pray. When you pray, God helps you. If you say, I don't have time to pray, to pause and pray, then you are too busy. And when you get to heaven, you can explain to God why you are too busy to talk to Him. I love this from Proverbs 10:27 from the Living Bible. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. You don't need more time. You need to judge your time more wisely. You need to use some of your time to intentionally remember and reverence the God who gave you the day and the energy to live it, the God who loves you and has a plan for every day of your life to be fulfilling. The Lord's Prayer is not just a ritual. It is not just a ritual that people pray. It's a pattern for living. It's a model for how to manage your day. If you do this, you'll get more done in a day, and you'll never be sorry you did. 150 years ago, a young Boston woman married a printer. They were happy. They had 3 children, but their happiness ended when her husband was conscripted into the Northern Army in the Civil War and died in the Battle of Antietam. Shortly after her husband died, her 12-year-old son drowned. And her only daughter died. It was one calamity after another. This woman's name was Mary Ann Kidder. In her grief, Mary Ann began to write hymns. If you've spent any time in a traditional church, you have sung Mary Kidder hymns. You may not have even realized it, but you have sung her hymns because she wrote nearly 200 hymns that have encouraged millions of people down through the years. One hymn she wrote is titled, Did You Think to Pray? Don't have it for you on the screen, but I'd like to ask you to listen to it. Did You Think to Pray? She wrote, when you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you ask for loving favor as a shield today? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By His dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? When strong trials came upon you, did you think to pray? As your heart was filled with sorrow, did the love of Christ you borrow at the gates today? And then the refrain goes like this. Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change your night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Will you stand, please? I'd like to ask you to join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Thank you. You don't simply invite us or meet us just on Sunday morning. 24/7, 365 days a year, you're available. You're waiting for us to pause and take time to say to you, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, I pray these thoughts this morning will enable each of us to take just a step closer to more frequently conversing with you, listening to you, remembering you, loving you, and telling you how grateful we are and how much we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.